Well, greetings again as we fire up another podcast. Let's see. This time I'm actually going to check all my settings on my software and make sure that I get a fairly decent read. The mic I've been using so far is okay, but it isn't as good as that Apple podcasting mic I had. Anyway, Liberty Land. This should be issue number 6. Date is 13 January. I've got 2 up on the net right now. I've got 3 more in the can, and I haven't really decided whether or not I'm going to post them in sequence or not, or try to do this as a daily audio diary about Liberty Land until I exhaust that rich body of subject matter. Okay, so in the past 2 episodes that we've posted, we've talked primarily about individual weapons. I made some brief mentions as to what my vision for Liberty Land is. After all, this is metropolitan Atlanta. There are plenty of gun shops and quite a few indoor ranges. So, you know, one might be tempted to ask, why do we need another one? Well, I fundamentally believe that and I've pretty much documented the fact that there's a genuine range space shortage here in Atlanta. A visit to any one of the 11 indoor ranges around this town on a weekend will typically involve a wait, sometimes as long as an hour, sometimes longer, in order to obtain a firing spot. The thing that kind of buttresses all this is the fact that I've worked in the shooting sports industry here in metropolitan Atlanta for the last 14 years in a full-time or part-time capacity, here and there, hither and yon. You know, so it's not like I'm just theorizing with no practical experience to back up my suppositions. Worked for many years at a popular range up in Lawrenceville here in Georgia called Bullseye, and that's where I kind of like cut my teeth on ranges and gun shops. So for several years prior to that, I'd run a law enforcement equipment distributor retail showroom down in Norcross, and we sold firearms, but we did not have a range. So, you know, in that 3.5 or 4 year period, I became intimately aware of how profitable the gun trade is, and I've decided that I want to get into that trade myself. It is a line of work that I thoroughly enjoy. So now, Liberty Land would be an indoor range in a gun shop. And hopefully what would differentiate it from the rest of the indoor ranges and gun shops in the metropolitan Atlanta area would be much more emphasis on safety and training. It would be open to the public. In other words, you can come and take a look at what we got. But in order to participate, in order to use the facilities, one major difference is the fact that we're going to require that you, as a membership fee, either join the Libertarian Party or make a $25 contribution to the Libertarian Party. Now, if you're amenable to that, cool. Before you can fire on our range facility, you have to attend one of our safety classes. And the classes is generic in that it discusses firearm safety in general. Our assumption is that most people that will want to use the facility are more than passingly familiar with firearms and firearm safety. So that'll be a very brief and rapid recap. The bulk of the presentation is going to be centering around what rules we have at Liberty Land. In other words, you know, this is basic gun safety, but we do it one extra step further here at Liberty Land. And unlike other ranges in town, you will be escorted to your firing point. And when you're done with your firing experience, you will notify the range control, and you'll be escorted away from the firing point. We want to do that in order to make sure that nothing untoward, nothing unsafe occurs as the shooter gains his intended goal of getting to the firing point. Another rule at Liberty Land is that, you know, if you've got a CCW and a concealed weapon, that's cool. You can wear it in the shop. Never take it out of your holster. You know, if you want to try and see if your gun fits another holster, notify the staff. We have your gun somewhere in the store, in one of the shelves of hundreds of weapons. We've got your Glock 17, or your SIG 226, or your SIG 229, or your Smith 419, or whatever the hell it is you're carrying, and that we have a holster for. We will have a weapon in the case. That's another thing. I'd like to make sure that we've got accessories for every weapon in the case, and a weapon in the case for all the accessories. you know, to make sure that there's no disappointments for the shopping customer. So, you know, basically the concept of a required membership and a required safety briefing. And now, when we get done with the briefing, kids, it's not just you got to sit through it, daydream, and text your friends in Fort Sill, Oklahoma. No. There's a written test at the end of the presentation, and you have to pass the test. Now, also, because you'll have to be going to a class, because you'll have to be making a donation to the Libertarian Party or joining the Libertarian Party, we will require that if you want to shoot and shop with us, that we have you in our database. And our database will be wholly proprietary. It will not even be connected to the internet. It'll be on a standalone computer. No flash drives allowed near it. Just a basic database. You know, John Smith joined up on, 30 January 2009, membership good to 30 January 2010. Very simple. So that way you don't have to repeatedly fill out a liability waiver release and repeatedly attend a safety class. We know you've been there. Now granted, for the first several years of operation at Libertyland, I cannot imagine a situation that might arise where we wouldn't be intimately familiar with each and every one of our customers after your second visit. You know, kind of a retail pro. You know, got a good facility for putting faces and names together and recognizing people that I've seen before. And indeed, any of the other customers and clients I've worked with over the years, if they want to come down and use the facility, more than happy to have you. You know, but you're going to have to go by the rules. And the very first rule is, this is what we expect in terms of shop safety. You know, if you got a CCW, you got a weapon on you, cool. Leave it in the holster. We will have zero tolerance for stupidity. You know, we're going to try and devise a system whereby you can actually handle weapons in the shop. Unloaded weapons. Weapons that have been cleared by the staff or known to be unloaded. But do so in a tryout booth or something of that nature, so that you're not constantly muzzling other customers in a shop. Although hopefully everyone's safety awareness level will be much higher. So casual stupidity won't occur as much as you see it, you know, in other places around town. You know, I don't want to adopt a policy where we have everything under glass and nothing can be examined without the express permission of one of the associates, but probably we'll start off that way. You know, safety first. Don't want to see any bonehead moves at Libertyland. And the other aspect of it is to try and amplify in the shooting public's mind just how tied our avocation and our recreational experience in shooting is tied, irrevocably tied, to politics. You know, shooters got to keep in mind one thing. You know, shooters are, it's kind of like golfers and people that play tennis. I mean, everybody in the country probably knows about the sport, but not everybody in the country participates in the sport. So it's a niche business. You know, you're not talking about millions of customers in Atlanta. You know, you might be talking about 6,000, 7,000 customers, regular repeat customers, folks that show up on a regular basis in a city this size. And I really want to try to attract of that, you know, that slice of the niche in Atlanta that likes guns and wants to shoot and wants to get better at shooting. I'd like to attract the upper 20% in terms of experience and skill. I mean, preferred clientele would always be military, law enforcement, private security, or contractor type people. You know, somebody who has had direct experience in outside training in firearms. You know, if we're all working from a common rule book, you know, if we all understand, you know, what the muzzle of a gun is, then hopefully the incidences of accidental or incidental discharges will be greatly reduced, hopefully to a standard of none. And that would be the one I would like to have. And that'll be the objective in terms of how we operate on a daily basis at Libertyland. You know, zero defect kind of program. Real focused on that. Gotta be. All right. So, that's one aspect of Libertyland, which is open to the public with qualifications. You know, there are qualifiers. We would prefer that you have a CCW if you come to shoot with us or buy product from us. If you can see your way clear to either join the Libertarian Party, check it out, see what it's like, or at least make a small donation to the Libertarian Party so that they can pursue their political goals and aims. Let me tell you, gunners, if you're into guns, you should be looking at libertarians. They're into guns, too. They really believe in the Second Amendment. And most libertarians I've met in my adventures in liberty land and libertarian land so far are conversant in and skilled in the use of a firearm. They actually understand which end the device or bullet does come out of. You know, so they're a little bit, they're a notch above just a Joe Blow that might wander in off the street. Now, I'm not trying to talk bad about Joe Blow. You know, I mean, obviously the sport cannot grow if some Joe Blow someplace doesn't develop an interest, go to a gun shop and, you know, join in the fun. But I'd like to do a little better job of recruiting them. Because over my years in firearms retail, I've seen people that didn't need to be around. You know, and in my years of range experience, you know, quite a few people just show up with their friends. You know, it's the first time they've ever gone shooting. Their friend may be knowledgeable. And in those situations where the friend is truly knowledgeable, you know, everybody has a good time. And everybody's safe. And there are no safety violations, you know. But there are also occasions where individuals with just a light dose of experience with firearms decides that he's now the know-it-all and is going to take his friends out to the range and everybody's going to play first-person shooter in Halo, you know, and live-fire range environments are not conducive to that type of wild gun play. Now, you know, we'll be using more of a modular concept with the range, so it might be possible to reserve a firing point for dual wielding, per se. For example, don't know if a single range in town will let you do that. And with justifiably obvious reasons, you know, firing two handguns at the same time, it requires an awful lot of control. And, you know, if you let one get away from you, things could get messy fast. But, you know, that kind of stuff requires more active involvement in the management of the range than you will find in any range in metropolitan Atlanta. It's a staffing issue. I mean, you can't afford to buy, you know, most people can't afford to hire enough range masters to actually operate a range because it's not the kind of job you can step in and do 8 hours straight, you know. There's noise, concussions, a lot of stress, you know, to staff a 12-point firing range, let's say, with two red caps, you know, because you'd split it into two 6-point elements. You need to have a red cap in each side of the range, one running rifle, one running pistol, one running shotgun, one running pistol, maybe you're running two pistol sessions at the same time. Don't know. There needs to be a guy out there with his hands on his hips and his red ball cap on and his fucking custom earplugs just to keep an eye on stuff. Make sure that nobody has a lapse of memory and forgets a vital safety rule. You know, the secondary function of the red cap would be to identify individuals that might benefit from, personal training in the handling of a firearm and marksmanship techniques. You know, I mean, when you come shoot with us for the first time, you audition. There's really no other way around it. You know, make your contribution to the party or join the LP, sit through the safety briefing, successfully pass the questionnaire, and your first session in the range will be monitored. You know, you'll have to go in with your own attendant. He'll show you where the range is at, how the controls operate, what's expected, what's not expected, what to do in case you have a weapon malfunction that you can't clear, what to do if anything malfunctions. You know, here's the call button. There's the camera. All right, so don't get stupid in here. Anyway, on your first session, you'll be monitored. And if you demonstrate on the firing line that you, in fact, know what you're doing, great. Welcome back. Can't wait to see you again. Be sure and check out the deals out front, because we got some deals. So that's what I mean by a little bit more intrusive environment. I will admit that. But once we know you, it's a different story. You know, because, hey, we know this guy. He's been here before. He's been to the class. He's fired on the range. He's qualified. We qualified him to operate his personal weapon in our facility. Now, an area I think that would yield higher rates of patronage and more members for the party and more members for our range facility would be to strive to offer our members, you know, the very best stuff we can find. One objective of the whole process is to get a hold of as many guns to rent, you know. A lot of people like guns. A lot of people own a lot of guns. But in the process, the life process of trying to figure out which is the best handgun for me right now, invariably you will own hundreds well, maybe not hundreds, tens at least. You know, try this one out, see if it works. Oh, that one quite right. Try that one. A little better in some respects, a little worse in others. You know, it'd be a lot more economically friendly if you could just go to your local range and rent said weapon and see what you thought after 50 rounds. I mean, most people evaluate whether they like a gun or don't within 50 rounds of buying it. I mean, it either hits for you or it don't. And a lot of folks have expressed to me over the years a strong desire to be able to take it on the damn range, you know, satisfy my question. Does a Smith & Wesson Model 10 work for me? You know, do I need a Colt? Do I need a Taurus? You know, what works best for me? Without having to sink $500 into the question and be informed by management when you decide that, no, 3 weeks later, that isn't quite the gun you thought it was, and it doesn't really feel as good as it should, and I really don't like the way it looks after all, and I can't hit shit with it. You know, you plop down your $500 for a Glock, and you find out, lo and behold, you're one of the few people in the world that can't shoot the damn thing accurately. You go back to the shop 3 weeks later, and they tell you, well, you know, you bought it new for $500, we'll give you $3.50 on it as a credit. You know, you lose $150 right there. Wouldn't it be smarter to pay $5, rent one of the damn things, buy $11 worth of shells, $10 worth of range time, and satisfy yourself about whether or not the gun's going to work before you go to the trouble of buying it? You know, and on the flip side of that, wouldn't the shop you're shopping with, you know, the retail venture that's more than a retail venture, you know, that it really is kind of on a crusade, wouldn't they want you to be able to do that? I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, it's a plus for management. It's a plus for the client base. You know, both sides win. You know, so the gun has 50 rounds put through it. Big deal, you know. If a gun's got a service life of 50,000 rounds, what's 50 rounds? You know, nothing. A hundredth of a percent of the service life? You know, it's a durable good. Granted, a firearm does not last forever, but it can last for damn near forever, properly maintained. But I think a gun store and an indoor range should have that mindset. You know, I mean, both sides want to win. You know, the management wants to sell guns and expand the shooting public's numerical base. The Libertarian Party wants more members, people who are of a like mind. People who like Second Amendment activities, shooting, for self-defense, for sport, for fun, for employment in some cases. You know, they've got an attitude about the Second Amendment. You know, these two natural groups, these naturally occurring groups of people, need to get together. And in order for that to happen, you've got to have some sort of focal point, you know. I realize it's a digital age, and it's electronic and everything, and the internet is all. And, you know, in terms of efficiency, it's much more efficient to do things via this podcast, for example, that potentially a billion people could hear, 2 billion, 2 billion maybe? No, probably a billion. You know, that many ears could hear it, you know. Well, that's cool, but you know, what if you want to go shoot the damn things? You know, what if you get a Jones and you decide, hey, I just picked up this really nice Kimber Custom 2 from a friend of mine, and I haven't banged around through it yet. So, off to the range I want to go. But then I realized that, hey, I live in a city of almost 4 million people, and there's only 11 firing points, and they're all located 20 miles from where I live. See, that's another problem with being an in-town type of guy here in Atlanta. You know, to go to a gun shop or a range, you got to travel outside 285. And I'm telling you, man, traffic is a fucking nightmare. You know, and there's reasons why you decide to live inside a perimeter. You know, it's a lot of people consider it to be more urban. Well, it certainly is by definition in terms of density. You know, but when you get out in the countryside, well, you know, there's a shift, there's a change. You know, but the biggest thing for me is I just like to not have to drive 20 miles. I'd be much happier if I could drive 5. Especially if I could drive 5 and park in a secured parking place. And deal with a knowledgeable staff, you know, people who know what the hell they're talking about, without being overbearing or without being arrogant or without being threatening. I've been in a couple of gun shops where I really felt like I had to move slowly, keep my hands very well clear and in the open to avoid being shot by the proprietor. Not very casual places at all. So that's kind of what's driving the Liberty Land project. Oh, Jesus, I've gone 19 minutes. This is like 7 minutes too long. Well, anyway, we're going to put episode 6 to rest. It's been a rather long diatribe, but it's been about Liberty Land. types of operations we'd like to see happen there. All right. So, it's the 13th of January, about, it should be close to 10 o'clock. A little after 10. And I want to thank you for your attention.